You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
To come and save her, better believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome. It's an honor to be with you and to be with our guest today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I welcome you. Oh, I welcome you to today's discussion, conversation, enlightenment. I'll ask our guest, will you please introduce yourself to us?
Hello, my name is India Key, and I'm also the homeschool mom life coach. I am a homeschool mom of 10 plus years. And I am a homeschool advocate.
I'm so glad you're here. I believe in divine timing, and I think it's absolutely divine timing that you're here with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to have you here because I truly believe in you and what you're doing, and I think you're going to have a lot of our friends who listen. They're going to be uplifted by what you have to share. So let's talk about homeschooling now, right now. Maybe some folks have been thinking about it, dreaming about it, wishing about it, hoping about it. What steps do they need to take to actually homeschool now?
Well, right now in Ohio, there's never been an easier time to get started with your homeschool journey. So for parents who have never sent a child to school, if the child is six, then they then would be required to send in a notice of exemption that they will be educating their child at home, and their child will not be going to the school that's assigned to the district in which they live.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have to send in the notice of exemption to the superintendent of their school. And then it's recommended that they send it certified with a return receipt so that they have the, you know, the information, the evidence that they notified the school district that their student would not be in the public school setting or even private school setting if that was one of the options the parents were considering. So once they send that in, then the superintendent has 14 days to notify them that they've received their exemption and that they are aware that their child will not be attending in the school district. For parents who have had a child attending a school and decide this year that they want to homeschool, assuming that student is already registered, they would have to withdraw their student from the school and then send in their exemption notice. And it has to be, I believe, let me check real quick. I believe it's like 5 days that they have to send in the letter. Let's see. Yep, 5 calendar days that they have to send in the letter notifying the school district superintendent that their child will not be attending school there, and they will be home educating them instead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the notice of exemption for everyone, whether or not the child has attended school or not, has to have some required information.
Okay.
So they want to make sure that the notice of exemption has the parent's name, the parent's address, the child's name, and then they have to certify, basically, that they're going to teach the required subject. Mm-hmm. So in Ohio, there's 5 required subjects. So we're required to teach English language arts, math, science, history, social studies. I believe that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is
government courses, yeah.
Okay, so these are the 5 subjects you absolutely must certify that you will teach your child, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, that is through the traditional form of homeschooling in Ohio. Uh-huh. So we no longer have other requirements for the child. There's no teacher requirement. There's no number of hours. You don't have to do portfolios or do assessments or any of those things.
Okay.
Right. I know. It's wonderful.
Yes.
If you choose to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you complete those 2 steps, and of course, make sure that you're actually teaching the subjects through during the school year, there is one little caveat that I like to make sure people are aware of.
Okay.
So in this form of homeschooling, if the revised code says that if there is evidence that's brought to the superintendent that a parent is not teaching these required courses, then there is the possibility of truancy filing. So you want to make sure, I think they're very minimal requirements, but I know most homeschool families will go above and beyond this.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
But just want to make sure that families that decide to homeschool do keep some type of record of the homeschool classes that you're teaching. You make sure that they fit into these different categories so that you have your evidence. So if for some reason someone were to say something, you can prove that you've done what you said you were going to do.
When we talk about homeschool history, what do we mean?
History covers the gamut. There's so many histories to discuss. So it can be, you know, the history of what? I believe in this respect, I think they're talking about like the history of people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so there's many ways to actually teach the history. So you don't have to just use a textbook.
Mm-hmm.
You can incorporate field trips. You can go to museums. You can do group studies where you're creating a history project that you present to people. It doesn't have to be boring. You know, history is one of those subjects that you do want to kind of, well, you know what? There are some children that are really into history.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for my boys, that is not a subject that they're asking for every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we make it exciting with our field trips. We make it exciting by doing group learning where there are projects that are required for the history class so that they can learn about a particular person, maybe do a poster board on the person. Maybe they learn about the history of a particular place and create a model of that place and then present it to the group and share what the happenings are going on here. In the past, we've taken the children to indigenous people's living environments, and they've got to see how people lived, and they hear specifically from the ancestors, about the ancestors from people who are actually in that group. And it's really exciting to actually see and talk to people from a different culture than you're from. You learn in a different way because it's more experiential.
Mm-hmm.
It's more alive to you. It is not something that's dead and boring. So I encourage parents to think outside of the box when it comes to the subjects that they're required to teach, and know that even if you select that you're a unschooling family, that there are ways to document the history education that doesn't specifically require a textbook or pencil and paper. So, there's many ways.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that with us, because I think sometimes, and we'll talk about some of the other subjects and ideas you have for those, but I think sometimes there's a perception that homeschool is just school at home. Like we're replicating the classroom, we're replicating the exact same things people would do if they were in a school classroom. And the beauty of homeschooling to me is, yes, we have a curriculum. Yes, they're going to learn. We want them to learn even more than they would learn in a classroom environment. But field trips And like you said, the unit studies and the group studies and all of those things add so much richness to the homeschool experience. Let's talk about social studies. I find parents, you know, I see in the group chats and in the Facebook groups and things, people are a little bit intimidated by math, and they're a little bit intimidated by social studies. So how does homeschool social studies look to you?
Well, I would say there's, again, just like every subject, there's many different ways of approaching social studies. And I will say that this is a particular area that I've used curriculums for because, again, I guess like other homeschool parents, I'm like, I want to make sure I cover the right stuff.
So we're
eclectic in our homeschool style, but specifically for social studies, I do use different curriculums, but in the way that I use the pieces that are relevant to what I'd like my kids to learn. For people, I should say, I'm speaking, who's my avatar? I'm speaking to myself, like people like me. You have to do your research. So you can't just sit down and say, oh, we're going to do social studies and have a year of social studies without a plan in place. So I would say that you look at the curriculum that cover the areas that you want to cover, that include your home's, your family's personal beliefs.
Because
this is an area where you can get into many different beliefs around the world that conflict with what you're teaching in your home.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we've done, and I know other homeschool families that do the same, is we take out the parts that we want and we leave the rest so that we can give our children an education that is in alignment with our values. And then we create opportunities for experiential learning. So we then will decide what field trips go with that or what activities or what arts and crafts or what painting, like whatever else we want to beef up the learning so that it's not just one note, but it keeps our children's interest and it allows them to maybe spark an area of interest that no one knew they had. They didn't even know it until we started doing the research. So social studies is really fun, and I've loved social studies because I've learned a lot that I feel like I didn't remember from my schooling. So it's been fun.
That's wonderful. And see, I think sometimes when we have these kinds of discussions about the subjects, folks are right now realizing, oh, I could do this. Right? I can do this because sometimes really the subject, a particular subject even, can be a block to people. And so that said, can you give us some insights into teaching homeschool math?
Yes. Homeschool math, and I have experienced parents who are concerned about mathematics.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the thing with math is, it's truly my belief that you have to find a curriculum or you have to find a method that speaks to your child. Because there will be children, of course, and there should be children who learn every subject in different ways. And mathematics is no different, except for parents who feel like they didn't understand math when they were in school. So then they're intimidated by it because they don't know how do I teach it. And I'm going to say this for math, but this applies to any subject that you feel like you don't have the background knowledge to teach. You can, one, use a curriculum where, especially for math, that may have video lessons to it. So your student can watch, and you can watch and learn with your student, and they actually will perform the operation so that you then can help your student where they may have difficulty. If it turns out that you're like, wow, I just watched it and I still don't get it, I think we need some help. Well, get some help. There's all kinds of tutors who work with the homeschool population. And in addition to that, there's classes. You could take your student to a class and have someone else teach, or you could have your student take online classes so then they get the instruction from a person who may be live or even from a recorded video that they all come together and watch, you know, because everyone's schedule is different. So they may not be available when the teaching's happening, but they have recordings of it. So you can still get the information, but you're not feeling as if you're not covering the area or your child doesn't have the specific information.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, and our family as well, if you are trying to find a math curriculum that works, you might have to jump around a bit. So I know for us, we've jumped around a bit, but we finally found one that, I think my children are learning easier from this one, and so we're using it. But then what you find, and this, even for children in any educational setting, what you may find is that there are learning gaps.
Okay.
So when it comes to mathematics, what I appreciate about the curriculum that we use, which is Math Mammoth, the instruction is there's some video-based, and you can, when you purchase, you can select also areas where you feel like your child may have learning gaps from switching different curriculum, because different curriculums cover different information at different ages.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's happened for you, don't worry. You can select, like if you choose a curriculum like Math Mammoth, you can select the area where your child needs stronger support, and then you can add that to daily activity. So then they're covering that information, and because a lot of parents feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to mess my kid up, or my kid's going to fall behind, or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to just do it during your typical school day time. They can do it at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So it, I really feel like that's a blessing, because you have a teacher who's instructing and who has the knowledge, and you have access to it through video, or some of the lessons are also on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
So that's nice, because, and each child will be different. So what that child needs really depends on their learning style. And if you find that one child needs math mammoth, and another one, I don't know, there's another one, like teaching textbooks. There's so many of them. But it's okay if different children in your home need different math curriculums.
Right.
Now, there's some children who they can't stand the pencil and paper, so you create STEM activities for them so that they can still get the learning, but they're not having to sit, especially if they're a little bit younger, they're not having to sit and do certain math operations. Now, when they get older, it's still going to be important, because you still need to know the basics so you can balance, your checkbook, and you can, calculate your groceries and make sure you got the right percentage off if there's a sale. So you still want to make sure they get it, but it doesn't have to be bookwork.
That is so helpful. And right there, I can sense some of our friends breathing a collective sigh of relief that, it's not just what Homeschool is not alone school. Right? Me and my chalkboard and my McGuffey reader, we're just going to try to do the best we can. And see, I think you're bringing hope to people, and I think you're helping them to see, you can do this. You might need a curriculum, you might need a co-op, but you can do this. So let's talk about science. Let's talk about science, because to me, science is one of the joys of homeschooling, right? The hands-on learning, the field trips, right? You can either read about astronauts, or you can actually go to where some of them were born or something like that. And the excitement for me is that science can be hands-on and not just, let's watch this or let's see this, but you can actually do the experiments and all of that. So with your wisdom and experience, what are some of the insights that would help us with homeschool science?
Well, with homeschool science, much like you've already said, it is the subject, I think, that offers the greatest opportunity for aha moments, for excitement, to spark an interest, because you do get to get really hands-on with science. Well, and if you so select, there's people who don't like that. They want to read the botany book. Well, go ahead, read that botany book.
Yeah, go right ahead.
But there's other people who would want to get out in the garden and create their own garden and learn about it through the experience of growing the plants and the vegetables. So with science, there's so many avenues to it. And I will say something my sister always says to me, Google is your friend. Because You can Google science experiments for any area really that you want, and you're going to find some that are free, and you're going to find some that are paid. You're going to find online classes. You're going to find field trips. You're going to find activities. You're going to find groups of people who are doing it that you want to join. There's no limit to the opportunity to investigate and explore in the area of science. I have to say, it's one of our favorite subjects in our home, I think for this very reason. Yeah.
I think that's so helpful. Thank you so much. What about English and language arts? How do we make that, how do we personalize it? How do we make it part of our own homeschool?
Right. Now, with English language arts, like when you're first starting out and your children are younger, it's really very... I guess at any age, it's really easy, but you can pick up a book. You don't have to do formal instruction, I don't believe, until they're a little bit older. And when I say a little bit older, I would say like third. What's that, about nine?
Right.
Yeah. But you can pick up a book, and to me, with English language arts, I include the reading. Because it's so important that children get comfortable reading. That they understand the comprehension piece of what they're reading.
Yes.
That they can retell what they read to you, that they can, I can't find the word right now, but you dictate to them and they can write what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the grammar or spelling is not there yet.
Right.
But they can ask, they can hear what you're saying and then take it from process that what they heard and put it through onto paper, that this is what, you know, my mom or dad just said to me. And then as you're looking at that for early school-age children, then you can, once they can put those words in order, then you can teach them about the capitalization, the punctuation, and start some of the spelling rules. And then when they get older, at least in our homeschool, even when they're younger, we do what's called book logs. So we have a our kids read, and then for the earlier ages, they'll draw a picture of what it is they read, and then they will write one or two sentences about what they read, kind of a one or two sentence, maybe some, my one kid, he likes to do lots of sentences, but as long as he can, you know, tell me and put it on paper what he actually read. So that's what we do for our language arts. And then when we get into like third grade, there's English language arts curriculum that we use, and we use a combination of a couple of books, but then it's much more formal where we're learning about the parts of speech, we're learning how to diagram sentences, and you're learning how to write from your own imagination.
Yes.
So you're learning to write from your own imagination, and then when you get a little bit older, we're starting to write papers, and so you're writing an overview of the, instead of doing like chapter reviews, because once they get a little bit older, we do chapter reviews for each chapter they read.
Sure.
And then we have them do a book report on the entire book. So then they're learning how to create the proper structure of a paragraph, how to have your intro paragraph, your supporting, and then your conclusion, and how to, if needed, to put in some filler information to make it the length we want to have it. So it can be a very relaxed approach such as that, or it can be you stick to, I mean, there's some really impressive language arts curriculums out there, or you stick to one that is much more prescribed and it hits the areas you want to hit for your child. I found in our homeschool that when we tried to use a more prescribed language arts, the kids really didn't, they didn't take to it as well. And so what we do is our language arts really comes from our reading and then creating stories. And then this year, my middle schooler, we're going to be using, it is a textbook, but it's much more of a fun looking textbook that we looked at it last week. And he's like, he likes it. So it's going to engage him more and it'll give him an opportunity to, one, cover the information I'd like him to have for middle school, but also if there's any gaps, it fills that in as well. So you don't, again, have to do it yourself. There's also co-op classes that will teach a structured curriculum. There's creative writing. If you have a student who just loves to tell stories, they can do their language arts through creative writing. There are homeschool families that either one of the students will create a book and publish it, or the family will create a book. So they create stories and they publish them as part of their language arts. You can get really involved and have a lot of fun with it, especially if you're a part of a group, one of our homeschool groups we were a part of. So after reading the story, we have like a book club meeting.
Oh,
and at
okay.
the book club, you have like food that were represented in the book, or they do an activity about something in the book. One of the other things that we've done, and my kids, a couple of my kids are reading books that have become movies.
Oh.
So for our language arts. So what I tell them is they are required to read the book first. Then we can watch the movie and we can compare the two and see which of them we liked and what we didn't like, and some of the liberties that the movie producers take with a book to make it more exciting for the screen. So one of the books we did that with, I don't know if you ever heard of it, it's called Shiloh. It's a book about a dog and a boy. Okay, so we read the book first with our book club group. We had all the conversations, talked all, did all that. And then at home, we watched the movie. We were so disappointed with the movie. It changed. We were like, wait a minute, these are not the right characters. Because, you know, when you're reading a book, you create in your mind who that individual
is. Imagination.
Yes. So that's a fun way of addressing language arts. It also allows your children to keep it, again, it is a living, breathing thing. It doesn't have to be dead old English. It is really something that can be exciting and fun that students look forward to.
This is wonderful, because right away we can now see that we can do this. You know,
that
we can homeschool now. We don't have to wait until we get better at this, or we think about that, or we guess at this or that. We can actually do it now. And that is so beautiful and wonderful and encouraging. I just want to say, since we have listeners in 160 countries and all 50 states in the United States, I just want to remind us all that we do have to check our own local laws, our own particular laws that pertain to us as well. So please do check your own state or where you live and make sure that the laws you're following are correct. But this is beautiful, and this conversation is so helpful. Because
can I make
now
a comment? I'm sorry, Can I make a comment about that?
Of course.
For people who are outside, you know, like you said, 50 states. There's, I don't know if people have heard of it, but it is HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Yes, absolutely. So you can go online, and you can see, like, homeschool laws in my state. If you go to their homepage, it says, in the middle, there's a map of the U.S., and it's homeschool laws in my state. If you click on that, it'll open up a bigger map, and you can actually look at the bottom. There's a guide that tells you, based on your state where you live, is it no notice, low regulation, you know, medium regulation, high regulation area. And so then you go and you click on your state, and when you open it up, it gives you all the requirements for homeschooling in your state. So you never have to be unsure of what you're doing or what you're teaching, or if you're following the correct process, because it's right there. The other thing is, if you're in Ohio and you look, there is another form of homeschooling. So we didn't talk about that. And it's when you have a non-public, non-chartered school. They used to be called 08 schools. So that's still an option for families. And that's still the option that we utilize. And with this option, there are some, there are much more requirements now, which is more similar to what it used to be for people who are doing the exemption route. But if you do and you have a bachelor's degree from an accredited college, then you're able to create your own private school in your home. And so then you have to send out a letter, a report to parents of the people who are in your school, which typically for most homeschool families, it's your own kids. But for some, because you can homeschool, I think it's up to six without having to get into oh, the safety and fire regulations.
Oh, yeah.
But if you go over 6, then you do have to get into those safety fire regulations. And that's important because there are some families, homeschool families, where there's 10 kids.
Right.
So you do have to, if you're going to be an O-8 school and you have over 6, you want to pay attention to that because that is a requirement. But you are then required to send that report of parents to the Ohio Board of Education and to the parents. Then you also let your superintendent know of the children that are in your private school that will not be attending their local school. So you have to give their name. I believe you give their name, their age, and address. Then, as a non-public, non-chartered school, we're also required to teach like 9 subjects.
Okay.
So our list of subjects is a little longer. We have to teach language arts, geography, history of the United States and Ohio, of course, government, math, science. We have to do health, physical education, fine art. We do have to teach, you know, first aid, safety, and, you know, fire prevention. And then any other topics that you want to teach. But I like this option because, you know, we basically get to decide when our children are promoted to the next grade, and we decide what we teach. We decide what our hours are. And if you're able to, I like this option for the one reason that I highlighted before for the regular exemption is that little truancy piece. And for most families, it won't come up.
No.
But I really prefer to maintain my parental rights to say whether or not my child has received the education that I said they would. And I really don't like the outside force trying to tell me whether or not it was achieved. So I stick with the 08 requirement. I stick with the 08 school or non-chartered, non-public education option for homeschool students. Let's see, I think our deadline is September 30th. So we have to send those 2 letters I said, the report to parents.
Right.
And then the notification to the school superintendent by September 30th. If you want to create your own private school. So you make all the decisions and nobody comes in and looks to say, hey, we don't believe that this part was completed sufficiently. It is really up to us. So again, whenever possible, I like to maintain my parental rights.
And do you have portfolios and assessments, things like that?
If the private school decides to.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay. So you don't have to have an end of year assessment by an outside person or anything like that?
Nope. No, you do not.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I love it.
Yeah, I can see why. I can see why. And so will you grant your own diplomas and report cards and things like that as well?
Yes. And, you know, homeschoolers who go the first route of the traditional notice of exemption, they can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can, your child can receive a high school diploma from you. Now, your school district is not going to give you a template or anything to follow. But again, Google is your friend and they have them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many families I see, because my kids are not there yet, but there are many families I see that have created their high school transcripts. And if you do become a member of HSLDA, I think they have resources as well that could help you
with that. Yes, they do. And there's companies that produce diplomas. I mean, even the
schools
have to get them from somewhere, right?
Right, just, correct.
You know, so, I mean, all of those kinds of things can certainly be found. But this is so helpful. I want to take a break, but when we come back, one of the things I really want to talk about is curriculum and community, because I think we have really cleared some major hurdles. Folks should be homeschooling now, right?
That's
now,
right.
Because of this conversation so far. So as we go to break, tell us where folks can find you, connect with you, be part of what it is that you're doing.
Well, I'm on social media, so people can find me at the Homeschool Mom Life Coach on Instagram. I'm really not a social media person, but I have really tried to lean into it because my business coaches tell me that that is where you reach the masses. And so I started posting more information. We also started an Instagram account for our Mom Homeschool Moms Network membership community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can be found at the Homeschool Moms Network. And starting in September, we'll be launching the actual membership.
Wow.
Where there's a Facebook group that will be attached to the membership. There's a course. There's a planner. There's so many benefits to being a member of the community that I just want moms, and it's very affordable so that, you know, we're homeschoolers and not everyone has two incomes,
right?
Because I understand that, right, we're home, some of us are home, and we've decided that for our family. So with that decision comes some financial implications.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that, and we want as many moms who want to have that support, community, and education to be able to be a part of this group and be able to participate in the courses, the workshops, challenges, get that daily dose of inspiration. And again, you can go to the Homeschool Moms Network Instagram or the Homeschool Mom Life Coach, and you can find me in both those places. I have a couple of reels I put out, so if people comment homeschool, they will get a link to attend our back to school week next week, where we're covering specific questions and areas from, again, wherever you live in the country, how to find out the information to notify, then how to plan your homeschool year, learning styles, teaching styles, homeschool environment, how you set up a space or a classroom in your home, whatever, however you decide. You know, there are so many beautiful ways to set up a homeschool space.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Curriculum. We'll be covering all of that next week in our back to homeschool week. So if they want to comment homeschool, I will send them a link.
Perfect. We'll do that while we listen to this, and we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play, or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeareBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
What a brilliant and beyond beautiful conversation we're having today. I'll ask our guest, will you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is India Keith. And I am a homeschool mom of over 10 years. I'm also a homeschool advocate, and I can be found on Instagram as the Homeschool Mom Life Coach, and also in our new membership community, the Homeschool Moms Network.
Wonderful. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for doing this work and helping other people to homeschool as well. That's so generous of you and kind, and we truly appreciate your time today. There's something else in the homeschool now equation, and that is curriculum. How do we find a curriculum? How do we decide? I mean, if you just Google homeschool curriculum, there are thousands of kinds, and then everybody, you know, so often there's a hot one, you know, one, oh, everyone's using this one, or everyone loves this one, or there's one that, you know, you discover on your own, or there's one that pops up in your social media ads. How do we sift through it all? Because it's very easy to become sort of, I don't know, inertia. you know, I've seen so many curriculum, I can't decide, and yet feel like if we don't make the right curriculum decisions, our child's future will totally be bleak. How do we select a curriculum and start homeschooling now?
Okay, well, I will say this. For anyone who wants to start homeschooling now, mm-hmm. it's an awesome time. Of course, we're all back to school. This is what, end of August, beginning of September, there are some homeschools and schools who haven't started yet, ours being one of them. We'll start next week. Mm-hmm. But this is a great time to start. And so I would say, before you even look at curriculum, as we've talked about earlier, get your information about your state laws. And then, before, you even look at curriculum, what you want to do is you want to talk with your family about homeschooling. You want to talk with your children. You want to put together a homeschool plan, like a family plan for what your goals are with your homeschool. You want to then do an inventory, if you will, on your children's learning style, because their learning style will dictate, or it should dictate, mm-hmm. the curriculum you choose. Because if you choose a curriculum that doesn't speak to their learning style, it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be pleasant for you as the teacher, nor them as the student. And you're going to say, oh, this curriculum didn't work. And it's not that the curriculum didn't work. It may not have been suited for the way in which your children learn. I would say the other piece to this is you want to do an inventory of how they learn, but then you want to do one of how you teach. Because you decide to be the teacher, because, you know, there's, and we discussed this earlier, there's many ways of homeschooling. You can hire people to teach classes for your student, whether it's in a group or it's in an individual setting. Mm-hmm. But if you decide that you are going to be the teacher, it's really important to know what your teaching style is. Mm-hmm. And I say this because we find we spend hundreds, sometimes people spend thousands of dollars on curriculum and find out they hate teaching it. That's wasted money. Mm-hmm. So you want to figure out how you like to teach, and you want to find something that has a combination of the both, your teaching style, their learning style. And if you need to actually find someone else to teach it, because how they learn is not how you find joy in teaching. And I always say this to homeschool moms. We are as important to that homeschool journey as the children are. Because if you have a homeschool mom who is hating the experience, I guarantee you, you have a child who's also hating the experience. Mm-hmm. When we can teach our children from a place of joy, then our children are more likely to get the education that they need.
Yes.
So, mom, you're important. Don't discount how you feel while you're trying to teach something. If it doesn't speak to you, don't use that curriculum. So if your child needs that curriculum, you can find a group, you can find a tutor, you can find a class online that will help them learn that information.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. and I will say, if you are just beginning your homeschool journey, it, from my perspective, it's really important for you all to get to know what it's like to be home and around each other every day.
Yes.
And for you all to get out into your world, like the world is your classroom, like get out into the world, mm-hmm. go places and create learning situations for your children so that you can see what their interests are, because you might pick a curriculum that doesn't speak to their interests, so then it's boring. And so then you might be so excited about it, but your child doesn't want to be involved at all. So I think there's many steps you take before you actually get to selecting a curriculum. You got to learn about your child. You have to learn about yourself. Then you have to learn what your family is like together, because it may, for some, be a very different kind of feeling. Then, once you've spent some time doing that, and you know, you can spend like the first 30, 60 days just getting to be family at home together with different learning activities. You can do activity until you decide to select a curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do get to like, okay, well, I know that my child likes to learn language arts by, they really like to write stories. Then there are some really nice creative writing curriculums you can search for and utilize.
Uh-huh.
And I say to new homeschool parents, even seasoned homeschool parents, if there is a curriculum you want to try out, you can try to find, especially on Facebook, there's like these swap groups There's like discounted groups where you can go in and say, hey, I am looking for this particular curriculum. Is there anyone here that could let me use it for a little while? Let me see if we like it. Is there someone that has it that I can purchase it from you at a used discount price? I've seen that happen a lot, and I've done that myself to explore different curriculums before you actually go all in and purchasing something, because you may find that what you thought you wanted isn't really what either of you or nor your children actually are interested in.
Right.
So I would say go through that process first. There are some curriculums also that let you use like a sample. One curriculum, we really love is Gather Round. And they have samples that you can utilize, and you can see if it if that family learning style fits for your family. Mm-hmm. Most families I know, they do some type of family learning, but not for every subject. And with something like Gather Round, it covers every subject except for math. So you have to give your own math curriculum, but everything else can be covered right there in the different units that you select. Mm-hmm. So something like that is wonderful. And if you can, or there's some families I see where they might purchase a curriculum together to share it so they spread the cost out so it doesn't have to impact a family. If you want to use something, I can't think of one right now, that's a little bit more expensive, then you can do that as well. But curriculum is it's a fun area. It doesn't have to be drudgery, and if you can change your mindset of how you look at curriculum, because there's there's nothing that you're going to do to ruin your kid. People always think this, and they're like, if I don't pick the right curriculum, my child's future is at stake.
It's just like, no, it'll always be my, and it'll be my fault forever, you know?
That is not true because,
that's great.
And keep in mind that it is, even if you tried something for the first semester, and you're like, oh my gosh, we didn't like it, change it. You can still change, which is why I say, I don't recommend investing in a lot of curriculum if you're new to the homeschooling arena. Because you want to first figure out what you guys like first and then purchase. Then you can decide, we're going to go all in on this science curriculum, get all the science kits, you know, get all the science and journals, get all of that. And then you can, have more time to explore and get deeper involved in it. But at first, you just want to take some time to get to know your interests first, both sides.
School systems, they're like, your kid is going to learn, the end. And we're like, oh, no, if they don't learn everything they need, they'll never be an astronaut.
Right. And you know what? If you remember back to school, I remember this. They would give us a textbook. We would do maybe a few chapters. We never did the whole book. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when you're in a home season, you got to go through the entire thing. They got to cover every page. If we miss one little study quiz, we're going to, no, that's not really true. And it's not real life. We have to have a lot of grace for ourselves and grace for our children, especially if we're new to the homeschooling environment, because it's going to be an adjustment.
Yes.
It's an adjustment even every year. It's an adjustment. Why? Because it's a new year. People have changed. Our ideas have changed. We've grown, we've matured in some areas and we're still lacking in others. We're whole humans. So that's a part of the process. And you don't have to feel like if this school year you picked a curriculum and you're like, man, that was a waste of time, so now we're all behind. No, you're not. No. The beauty of homeschool is it has your child increase their knowledge of whatever topic was from the start of the homeschool year to the end. If there's been progress made, awesome. Then you've done your job. Was it to the level of progress you wanted? Maybe not. Then you can beef it up the next year, or you can do summer study. You don't have to try to cram it all in and then feel like you're a failure. You want to set your child up for success, and you want to set you, homeschool mama, up for success.
Yeah.
Because if the homeschool mom, I'm telling you, I will shout this forever. If the homeschool mom is not having a great experience, I guarantee you there are children who are suffering because of it.
Right.
And not because the homeschool mom is intentionally doing it, but she is not in her place of joy. So that's where I excel in helping moms figure out where is their joy in this homeschooling journey for their children, but also for themselves.
Yes.
Because it is so imperative. You can't forget that you were still a whole human before you became a mom and a homeschool mom. Mm-hmm. So you're important to the process. It's not all about the children. And when we can remember that, then we can relax a little and say, okay, we're all going to have some fun with this. And how do we do that? And if that curriculum doesn't work, that's okay. You know what? You love that curriculum. So, hey, put it away for a year or two. Maybe you bring it back out.
Uh-huh.
And you do it, you know, in another year or two, or maybe another semester. And then your students' interests may have changed, and maybe they're more likely to be excited about doing it. And then, you know what? There are some no one's ever going to be excited about, because it just doesn't fit your family. And that's okay,
right,
too.
What about socialization? How would they make friends? How will they do anything with their lives and have any friends? How will they meet somebody to marry? What in the world? How will they get social skills? You get the idea.
I absolutely do. You know, and that's I don't know. I think that's really such a weird thing that people think
it
that.
Is. Yeah, it is.
Right. Because now look at when you're in a traditionally schooled environment, you're in a classroom with people your age, and that's it. So, and you're not really allowed to be talking or you're in trouble, right?
That's right. You come to school to learn, not to socialize, Miss India.
Right. So I don't understand why people have this idea. But I think what it is, it's kind of like you said, it's because you, even though you're in a classroom with people your own age, you're not allowed to speak to them. You're still around other people, other children. So I get that. Yes. As you said, there are so many ways to have relationships with others. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways, as you stated, is to join co-ops. And there are so many different types of co-ops, because you can join a co-op that's solely based on field trips and activities.
Right. Yeah.
And we have been a part of different types of co-ops. So those types of co-ops are wonderful for the family that says, you know what, we've got the book work covered, or we're unschoolers and we don't need the book work, but we do want to have an opportunity to spend time with our peers, for our children to get to know other children, for me to get to know other homeschool moms.
Uh-huh.
So we'll join a group that is focused on outings, and we'll go to places, and we'll experience that environment together, and we'll do some group learning there. Then there's co-ops where you actually can take your children, and you can drop your children off, and they educate your children for you. Your children are in a classroom with multi-ages, and you have people who are teaching your children whatever the classes are that you wanted for them. And then they have a co-op where it's truly a cooperative, where the parents are involved with the co-op experience. So you either teach other people's children, or you provide a service, like maybe cleaning the classroom when it's finished or whatever that is, or being a helper in a classroom. So in that group cooperative co-op, your children go to class and you stay there with them. They take one, two, three, four. They can be there all day, some of them. So there's that type of co-op. There's also co-ops where I just found these last year, which I thought were amazing. There's also co-ops that are online co-ops, which I think are just phenomenal.
We love them. They're wonderful.
Yeah, you can be involved with other students, but you can stay in the comfort of your home and you can get to see them online, and you guys can do virtual field trips together, and you do activities or teach or take a class together, whether it's synchronous or asynchronous learning. You do it, you're still a part of a group. And so in addition to co-ops, which are a wonderful way, but for some families, co-ops can get to be a little expensive depending on like how many children you have. So I say to parents all the time, if you want your kid or your child to spend time with someone else, start a group. It can be a free play group. And you guys are going to the park. You go to the park every Friday, or you guys are into, I know a homeschool mom that does this. Now, it's part of her business, but you can do one on your own where your kid likes chess. So you guys get together, have a chess group, and you guys go to different locations, or you go to different families' homes every whatever day that is you decide to meet. So if you don't find what you need, start what you want. And then others will join because they're looking for it too. And they just didn't know until you provided it.
That's right.
I also say for families, if your children are athletic and they want to do sports, there's so many homeschool sports organizations. because we found a couple of them, but wasn't the season for our family, but they're still out there operating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In addition to that, in particular states, especially here in Ohio, if your child wants to participate in sporting activities with the school district they would have been assigned to, you still have that opportunity. So as a homeschool parent, you can say, okay, my kid's really into volleyball. Uh-huh. And you can go to your school district and say, we want to sign up. So you go through the same process as a publicly schooled student. So if they get cut, if there's cuts to the tryouts and all that kind of stuff, if your kid gets cut, your kid gets cut. But if your kid makes the cut, then they get to be on the team. And so there's a lot of I guess they call them club sports.
Sure.
So children can participate in club sports and they'll be there with other families, other kids, people different ages.
Yeah.
But they have socialization.
Yes.
And I think the thing is, it's to not feel like you're boxed in. So there are some that if you try it out and you're like, oh, that doesn't fit, that's okay. You tried it out for the semester or you tried it out for the year. You don't have to do it again next year.
Right.
So if you find out that didn't fit, okay, it didn't fit. And again, I encourage people, if you are one of those moms that's just like, you know what, this doesn't work and this doesn't work, this is what I really want. Create what you really want. Put it out there on social media. You're going to find other families that want to do it too. Every year there's groups that also do, now we participate at first and we don't feel the need to anymore, but you know how people like to mark the year and they like to go to like a graduation or matriculation or move to the next grade.
Right.
So we do that for our kids, but we stopped around like fourth grade because we're like, wait a minute, but we don't have to celebrate this every year. But no, we're moving on. But there are some families that love it and they still have it. And you can do that if you feel like your kids might be missing out on that kind of experience or you want to get the pictures. You know how they do school year pictures in the public and private schools?
Yeah.
People do homeschool pictures. We were a part of a co-op that actually did a yearbook. So you can do, it's all available to you. You have just decided that you are going to be in charge of your child's education. So there's nothing that they're going to miss out on unless you don't pursue it for them because you have to be involved. You can't just sit there and think everything's going to come to you. You do have a responsibility as their parent and as their teacher to take action on the things that you want for your child.
And that would be true in any educational environment.
Absolutely.
Right. You'd have to become an involved parent no matter where you have your children educated. And, you know, let's not leave out our faith communities, our volunteer and volunteer service, community service places, intergenerational friendships and relationships and socialization too. Let's count it all. Let's just count it all. And that brings me to one last point I definitely want to make. Socialization works both ways. So I think people always act like, well, they won't have any best friends or they won't be involved in extracurriculars, but they also won't be involved in some of the bullying or some of the vices that we don't want them to learn, right? We don't want them to socialize in certain ways. And so I think that that's something to remember as well, that, you know, we will have like-minded friends who have values that align with ours, not just whoever shows up at this particular building on a particular day. And I think as parents, that helps us to choose our friends and our connections for our children a little bit more and the values that we want for them. I have loved this conversation. You are such a shining ray of light, and I'm sure you've given a lot of people the desire and the tools to homeschool now.
Well, thank you so much. This is a topic that I could talk about all day.
Me too.
Every day.
Me too.
And you know, I would say this, you know, let's be real. Homeschooling, it's not always easy every day.
Right.
I don't want to make it sound like it's going to be this, you know, you wake up in the clouds and it's going to be a dream every day. No, homeschool is reality. It takes work. You're going to have great days and then you're going to have days where you're like, ooh, I need to go back and wake up again. You're going to have those, and that's okay. There is no perfect educational or learning environment anywhere.
Right.
But what I will say is that parents, you are your child's first teacher, and I encourage you, if you want to continue to be your child's only teacher, do that. You are capable. You can do it. There are enough support that have been developed for the homeschool community that there is not a parent out there that wants to homeschool that cannot. You can.
I love it. I love this conversation, and I'm so happy that we had it today. Thank you to all our friends who listen, to all the platforms, the donors, the sponsors, the people who are prayer warriors, all of you who make this show possible. We are so grateful to you. We're so grateful for you, and we thank our guest today for joining us. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're all together again. See you next time.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.